Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news is not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61:1-4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Let's talk a little bit about what is happening today in our local community. First of all, as Christians, don't be the person who is the source of drama. Do not do that. As a Christian, we are not supposed to be contentious for the sake of contention. As a Christian, we are actually supposed to be bringing calm, peace, joy, love into situations, and God's wisdom, not man's. And right now, there's a lot of folks that have jumped the gun on a lot of different things in our local community without knowing the full story of what is really happening. What is key always in Scripture is to test the Spirit. See what the end result is. Are people consistently vindicated by the Lord? And when the answer is yes, then you know what spirit they are operating in. So this brings up a couple points. So you have a bunch of folks running for local elected office now, and people have been asking me, Matt, how do I know who is whom? Well, first of all, if somebody's being attacked constantly by the left, 9 times out of 10, they're probably the right person, right? If somebody's being attacked for their stand for religious liberty, or their stand for school choice, or their stand for the things that make America great, that's probably the person you want to take a look at. If consistently, though, somebody claims to be a Christian, claims to do the right thing, and yet their vote record and their actions and their statements do not match that, you may want to take a closer look and scrutinize even further that person. Now, we are seeing a ramp up of Marxist intimidation around the country. Again, it should not surprise us when Marxists try to do intimidating tactics to certain people, especially during an election cycle. What we need to be careful of is that we don't start attacking people who are being attacked by the Marxists. We actually keep the focus on where the evil is coming from. And in addition to that, take a look at people's political affiliations. If somebody founded the Green Party, for example, somebody adhered to the Green Party platform, and you go find the Green Party platform and you find out it is chocked full of socialism and actually advocates socialism as an economic system, then you know that they're not the right person. But it takes some effort on our part to be conscientious voters and conscientious Christians. Laziness and apathy inside Christianity and the kingdom of God today has led to a lot of people missing very clear signs of people that they are looking at in the community. for being an elected official when they really shouldn't even be running for office because they don't believe in the values that made America great. They don't even believe in the Constitution as it's currently written. So don't fall into that trap. Really go into pressing into investigating people and take a look at who their enemies are, because it gives you a really good indicator of the type of person they are. One other thing I want to talk about quickly is humility. One of the things in the world today, even in the church, is pride. We are rife with pride. So take a moment with your family tonight. Study humility. What does that actually look like? Confess where maybe you haven't been humble. Maybe you have had areas of pride. And then as a family together, take communion. This is what house churches did 2,000 years ago. And we can do that again. And what that does is it brings us into that closer bond with Jesus Christ and our family members. And we can plead a fresh application of Jesus' blood over whatever situation that we're dealing with, whatever person that we're dealing with. And it gets us out of the way so Jesus Christ himself can move forward and take care of it. And if you do that, it's quite literally being the lamb as the lion comes to your defense. I love that picture. Well, that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing from the International Front Debka file. These things keep flying under the radar. It's very interesting to me. Most of you have never even heard that the United States had this capability, but the United States moves to the Arabian Gulf a new robotic marine air task force operated by artificial intelligence. The first of its kind, the U.S. Task Force 59, aims to enhance deterrence against Iran by the use in the region of integrated unmanned systems and artificial intelligence. Last week, you will remember that I talked about the fact that Biden was essentially closing down CIA operations in that area of the world, turning it over to the Mossad. This is a huge issue and problem, I believe. Going away from human intelligence to machines makes us so vulnerable, more vulnerable than you could possibly imagine. And this continued push to use just technology to try to make up for different things is actually making us vulnerable to an EMP attack. It's making us vulnerable to cyber attack. This is called the Loyal Wingman. That's the name of this. The Loyal Wingman drones and other remote control technologies are known to be extremely versatile and armed for providing support for manned aircraft in disputed airspace. They're using this as an excuse to cover for a lack of readiness in the military services. And we cannot fall into this trap of technology. Ultimately, wars are won in the mud and the rain and the sweat and the blood on the ground. And we would do well to remember that. Which brings me next to WorldNet Daily. 100,000 migrants headed to the United States. 52 were detained for Al-Qaeda ties. This doesn't even talk about Muslim Brotherhood ties. This is just Al-Qaeda ties. An estimated 100,000 migrants are headed towards the United States from Central America, and 52 among them were stopped in Panama because of ties to Al-Qaeda, a Texas congressman warned. Republican Representative Tony Gonzalez said he was informed by Panama Foreign Minister Erica Moniz that the record-breaking number of Haitian immigrants that entered the United States last month isn't slowing down. This is just one more. I mean, think about how many came from Afghanistan that had ties to Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood, let alone what they're trying to do through the southern border. Ah, yes, but they claim Islamophobia, when in fact that is never the case. Jihad Watch UK celebrates diversity. Somali Muslim stabs MP to death in a church. By the way, what people have not picked up on is this was on the anniversary of the assassination of a Japanese socialist leader by stabbing as well. People have not picked up on this, known as the Yamaguchi affair. You can read about that on October 12th, decades ago. It seems like this might have been coordinated on that day. Nobody's investigated that part of it yet. A little afternoon on Friday, Sir David Amos, a 69-year-old British MP, entered Belfair's Methodist Church for a meeting with his constituents, which he held regularly. Shortly after, he walked into the church, a Muslim whom the AFP described as a British national with Somali heritage approached the MP. There were people waiting to see him, and one of them literally got out a knife and just began stabbing him, and he died of his wounds a few hours later. Now, they tried to cover up the motive of this, but the simple fact of the matter is that people that become Sharia compliant like this become jihadis. And if you don't understand the nature of this, then you're going to miss the threat. I wonder if anybody's going to pick up on that now. We will see. Now, a little bit of an interesting twist coming to us from Populist Press. Quote, Durham related, FBI raids Russian oligarch's D.C. mansion. FBI agents on Tuesday swarmed the home of Russian oligarch Oleg Deripaska in Washington, D.C., an agency spokesman confirmed to NBC News. The reasons for their presence wasn't immediately clear. His close ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin. Speculation on this is rampant, but in 2018, Deripaska was denied a visa to enter the United States over his alleged ties to organized crime. But since that time, the Russian government gave him diplomatic status, allowing him to enter the country with immunity. So this is very fascinating. It does appear that things are moving forward in the Durham investigation, although I'm holding out final judgment on this because we've heard about it for so long. Along the same lines of actually holding people accountable, the New York Post has an interesting article today. Facebook admits to letting users share information on human smuggling. Facebook has admitted to allowing users to share information about how to enter a country illegally or request information about how to be smuggled. In a letter to the Arizona Attorney General, end quote. The Arizona Attorney General said this, quote, Facebook's policy of allowing posts promoting human smuggling and illegal entry into the United States to regularly reach its billions of users seriously undermines the rule of law, end quote. Do you think? Fact of the matter is they've been doing this for a very long time. And where is the accountability with this stuff? Where does it stop? You've got Antifa, Socialist Rifle Association, John Brown Gun Club, Redneck Revolt here in America. People have investigated their ties to communist China, to Marxism, but they don't ever seem to be investigated. The FBI says, oh, no, we're going to not consider them really as something to take a look at. Then you have Facebook doing this with human smuggling. Seemingly no accountability for that at all. Let alone the fact that there might be Al-Qaeda operatives coming across the southern border. Not might, very likely. Muslim Brotherhood operatives coming across the southern border, very likely. Iranian operatives coming across the southern border, very likely. Chinese operatives in coordination with the Sinaloa cartel coming across the southern border, very likely. And is the United States going to just let that happen? Most people that see this are saying, no, our job is we should be investigating these organizations. We should be trying to stop this. And you have to ask yourself, and if you run into a family member that is on the fence or confused on this, ask them the question, does that seem normal to you? How is it possible that in every single one of these situations, they're doing the wrong thing? They're not stupid. These are Yale graduates, Harvard graduates, Columbia graduates. They're not dumb. So is this intentional? Is this intentional? That brings us to an interesting thing that we actually talked about several months ago, that the left was arcing a trajectory toward October 15th for a general strike across the country. They also put the date for the vaccine mandates of Washington State right after that. And so what has happened now is the left's general strike, because a bunch of unions walked off the job yesterday and today in Washington State, is that now you have also walkouts in regards to the vaccine mandate that are kind of covering for this intentional plan that we have been talking about on this show for a couple of months now. Specifically, 127 Washington State police employees were terminated for refusing to comply with the vaccine mandate. So in addition to the walkouts, you also now have the termination of people all at the same time. This is serving to constrict supply lines. This is conserving to disrupt the economy. This is serving to disrupt the faith in institutions in the United States, as Yuri Bezmenov, former Izvestia agent who defected to the United States, said they would try to do, undermining institutions. And specifically, they want to undermine the institution of law enforcement, and they want to undermine the institution of the military. And so what you're seeing now happen, and we're going to talk about the military a little bit later in the show and what's happening regarding the vaccine, so-called vaccine. It is a gene therapy mandate. But here in Washington State, very clearly the police are being targeted. They're defunding police, making it almost impossible to do their jobs without having to look over their shoulders. Fear of lawsuits. 74 commissioned officers with Washington State Patrol are out of jobs now. Meanwhile, I want you to think about that. And Chief Batiste, not known as a conservative or constitutionalist, not known as a person who believes that the Constitution means what it says. We will miss every one of them. 53 civilians and 74 commissioned officers, which includes 67 troopers, 6 sergeants, and 1 captain, were let go. You know, if you believed in the Constitution, perhaps, Chief Batiste, you would have stood up and defended your people. This is serving to undermine the very fabric of society, because as law enforcement begins to wane in its ability to do the right thing and in its numbers to do the right thing, criminals then begin to take greater and greater advantage. This is a Marxist tactic that has been used in country after country after country. They attack the police forces first to try to undermine the very fabric of society, and undermine too. the thin blue line, so that ultimately chaos ensues in the society. And of course, the Marxists ride in on their white horse with the solution of more government. Which brings us to End Magazine. The purge becomes reality. America's cities prepare to fire the police. I want to go through this quickly. Chicago has imposed a vaccine mandate on its police officers. Same date, interestingly, October 15th. You guys noticed this. We called this 2 months ago. Got to be paying attention. And thank you, a hat tip to Forward Observer, for bringing that date up to our attention. But you got to understand, they try to camouflage it with all these other things happening at the same time. Seattle, the city has been losing police officers in large numbers for some time now. Now the city is poised to fire about 40% of the 1,000-person force for failing to get the COVID vaccine. Whew. You hear that? 40% of the force in Seattle. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near Seattle right now. They are going to what's called stage three mobilization, which describes the third level of mobilization for emergency operations because they don't have enough people. Los Angeles, the sheriff has acted to head off any similar action by saying that he refuses to enforce their vaccine mandate. I got to tell you something. If the sheriff in Los Angeles can do that, why can't the police chief of Seattle do that? Why can't the state patrol chief do that here in Washington? In Massachusetts, the state police are simply voting with their feet. At last report, hundreds remained unvaccinated and dozens had already submitted their resignations. This is going on across the country. And really what it's doing is allowing for a sifting of character and moral courage. Do we really believe what we say we believe? And do we have the courage to stand in the gap and say, no, you're not going to do that? It is a leader's job to take pressure off the people that they are responsible for. It is the duty of a leader to protect the God-given unalienable rights of the people they are responsible for, not to throw them under the bus. In fact, the Constitution of the United States depends on local law enforcement staying local. And if you understand what they're trying to do, what they're literally trying to do is make these police forces so untenable that they then bring their own people, their own Marxists in, their own thugs into the police forces to then become the police forces and or centralize the police forces at the national level because it's so untenable. The founding fathers warned of this. We've warned of this. Police need to remain local. They need to remain independent. The John Birch Society has talked about that. Support your local police for a long time. That's what we need to do. And the Marxists are very clear in their plan here, but it's easy to stop if we all stand up. And particularly the county sheriffs across this country, as I've talked about now for 15 years, county sheriffs is where it's at. If a county sheriff has the moral courage to stand, that county can remain free. If a county prosecutor has the moral courage to stand, that county will remain free. Lastly here, on the national front, from the New American, freak out as conservatives exit public schools and abandon reform. This is interesting. So we have a massive exodus from the government school systems to private schools happening across this country. People are finally realizing that they cannot reform the system from inside. They are actually pulling their kids out. And here is the quote. Lieutenant Colonel Ray Moore, the godfather of the Exodus movement, that's people leaving the government school system and going into the private school system, and also homeschool system, was thrilled by the shift in the conversation. After decades of futile efforts to reform government schools, conservatives and Christians are permanently opting out. The dam is about to break. I agree with that. It's been now in the double digits of people that are leaving the public school system, the government school system. I think that's going to increase dramatically. And my comment and encouragement to every pastor watching, listening to Patriot Radio today, be prepared to set up your own school to accept all of those kids that are coming out of the government school system. There is more than enough to go around, but we need to be ready so that we can train up that generation in the way they should go, so when they're old, they will not depart from it. Lastly, the election is coming up here on the local front. Get to know who the candidates are and get out and actually vote. But Matt, does voting really matter? Get out and vote. Do the right thing regardless of what's going on around you. Do the right thing. And the fact is, if everybody stood up, the margin of fraud would be so hard to overcome. As we actually call it, that 3 to 5% where they try to come after votes in an election, the margin of fraud would be so hard to overcome because so many people voted. And that's actually part of the reason some of it was exposed in the presidential race, President Trump, because it broke the algorithm. It was beyond the margin of fraud. Get out and vote. Vote for people who understand the kingdom. Vote for people who are going to defend your God-given unalienable rights to life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Vote for people who have actually read the Constitution, read the state Constitution, and read the Bible. Vote for those people. And if there is an area where you're like, there's no good candidates, pray about it. Maybe it's supposed to be you. Who knows? Because it is a mission field, politics is. A mission field. And we need to treat it like that again as Christians. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us and just all of the encouraging words we received, especially over the last couple of days. God bless all of you for sending those things in. Remember, if you get a chance, just at Matt Shea, Gab, Getter, MeWe, USA Social, Twellet. I mean, I can't even remember all the social media sites that we're on. And if you absolutely have to, you can go to Patriot Radio US on Facebook. We are also on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon. And we are replayed every Tuesday and Thursday night at 9 p.m. across the entire American Christian Network. Whew. What I really love about this country is Americans will always find a way and they will always fight for liberty. We are in that generation. Are you ready to fight? All right. It is my honor to bring back on to Patriot Radio today, Veronica Kirilenko. She is a research associate at the Geostrategic Analysis in Arlington, Virginia, a freelance writer for The New American, American Thinker, Western Journal, The Hill, all the best places to go read anyway. Veronica, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio. How are you doing?
Hi, Matt. How are you doing? Thank you for having me. It's a privilege.
Awesome. So I want to talk a little bit about this so-called vaccine. There is a huge pushback in the United States military right now, predominantly the United States Army, to my great pleasure, since that's what was my branch of service, is fighting back right now against this vaccine mandate. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what's going on and the details of that?
Thank you very much. Of course I can. On Friday, service members from all five branches of the U.S. military, as well as federal employees and federal civilian contractors, filed a class action lawsuit along with a motion for a temporary restraining order and injunction against President Joe Biden and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and also Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over the COVID vaccine mandate. They argue that it violates their constitutional rights, and I think that they are absolutely right. You know that on September 9th, allegedly relying on the best available data and science-based public health measures. Of course, as he claims that President Biden issued an executive order requiring all federal employees to get a COVID vaccine as a condition of employment. And even earlier, on August 24th, Lloyd Austin, following the FDA approving the Pfizer's community jab, he mandated that all of the American troops need to get a vaccine, he ordered all the branches to set the vaccine mandates, and so they did. And the deadlines are fast approaching. So the troops argue that actually, the law only requires the troops to be vaccinated with the FDA-approved jabs. And currently, there is no FDA-approved jab available in the United States. And even though the FDA says that the regular COVID-BioNTech jab can be used interchangeably with community, they are actually legally very distinct. Therefore, that regular jab that is abundantly available in America right now, it is not approved. It still is regulated. It only has the emergency use authorization approval, and any soldier anywhere, they can refuse it. And this is what it is all about.
I want to talk about this very clearly. There is no approved jab that the soldiers could take, the airmen could take, the Marines could take, the Coast Guardsmen could take, that exists in America right now. So literally, this whole thing is smoke and mirrors.
This is exactly right. This is exactly correct. And in addition to that, the lawsuit states that the plaintiffs have been refused any religious exemption from the vaccination. And, it's a real shame because these people are real heroes. They are veterans, and they swore to protect their fellow citizens with their lives. And yeah, they are being threatened with all kinds of disciplinary actions, and that includes dishonorable discharge, which is for them, it's worse than criminal conviction, because it's a badge of disgrace that follows them for the rest of their lives. And it's a shame that the Biden administration is doing that.
It's incredible to me that the Biden administration is doing that. And I also heard that even the mandate itself wasn't in the Federal Register, that a lot of this, again, was just a talking point from a press conference, not something that was actually put in writing, as is required in the Federal Register. This just seems like it's they're just trying to test to see how many people are going to go along with do what I say.
Yes, and I'm glad that many people do stand up and try to push back and file the lawsuits, even though it's really hard. I bet it will be hard. And these people, this news, it actually not the only good news, because there are already a couple of other lawsuits that were filed in the military against Biden and Austin. For example, on September there were a couple, and then in October as well. So I really hope that they will win those cases, because they have really established very very convincing legal grounds for them succeeding.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the religious part of this. Article 1, Section 11 of the Washington State Constitution says there's absolute freedom of conscience in all matters of religious sentiment. Article 26 says there should be perfect toleration of religious sentiment, and that no one shall be molested in their person or property on account of their mode of worship, which includes what you ingest in your body and put into your body. We now know, as a matter of fact, that aborted fetal cells were used in the testing or development of COVID vaccines. And that, just that alone, provides a basis for a legitimate religious exemption. But what we're hearing is either the exemptions are being denied, or exemptions, at least in Washington State, they're being granted, but then they're like, well, we can't accommodate you. in any way, so you're fired, right? So I believe those are illegal. Can you comment on that and unconstitutional? Can you comment on those?
Yes, I believe that you refer to the Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act, and yes, it is. It explicitly states that people have this right to file for their religious exemptions, and if they have sincerely held religious beliefs, they do not have to be shared by everyone, but by those people. And if they have those religious beliefs and they can prove that they do not allow them to take a certain drug, that they must enjoy this right. It is their constitutional right. And like you said, the fact that aborted fetal cells were used in testing or development of COVID vaccines, all of them, prevents the plaintiff, those servicemen, from taking any of them due to their religious beliefs that value unborn life created in the image of God. And also, I believe a couple of plaintiffs who are women, they claim that since no long-term studies that have been performed on any of the COVID shots regarding their impact on female fertility and giving their religious belief about marriage and childbearing, inoculation is simply not an option for them.
Very clearly not an option for them. And yet, again, it's like this Hobson's choice. Do I keep my job or do I do the right thing and not take this? And it seems like this is maybe the point of even what they're doing, that they don't want independent thinkers. They don't want people who are going to question. They want people who are going to go along.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing that is really concerning is that they are actively preparing to boot the servicemen from the forces, leaving the, you know, America more vulnerable to the threats.
And let's talk about that part of it. I mean, this seems like the perfect communist strategy to weaken the American military and all these servicemen leave. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. And it is not just the military. You see what is happening in the police in big cities like LA and Chicago and Seattle, and you know, I think Oregon as well. They already are struggling to hire people. They already see shortages of the police force, and they are on the peak of violent crimes. They have no plan, no strategy to counteract. And at the same time, they are eager to fire those people who just simply reject the jab, and they claim it's in the name of the public safety. But at the same time, the public safety, becomes more vulnerable because the public is less protected because the police is just not there, and it's about to shrink even more.
For many of us who have studied history, I mean, this really is following a Marxist revolutionary model. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to comment on that, because some people maybe 5 years ago said, that's conspiracy. There's no way that's true. And yet this really is following very closely to what's called a Maoist insurgency model. And people now are waking up to that, saying, yeah, this really does look like they're trying to bring down this country.
It's terrible. It's about the creation of the proletariat, people who have nothing to lose but their chains, as Marx put it. The poorer the people, the less protected they are, the less property they own, the more they depend on the big brother, the government, the more they look for someone to look after them. And this is exactly what is happening, because people are getting poorer. People face all kinds of dangers from, economic vulnerabilities and social vulnerabilities. They are threatened by the rising crimes. The crime, they see those empty shelves in their grocery stores. They are losing their jobs, and they just become wild and often turn to crime themselves. And this is actually very terrifying.
Yeah, it's following this exact pattern. And the other thing that has been fascinating for me to watch is the development, it's like they didn't even really countenance any of the objections to the development of gain of function research, the perfection of gain of function research for viruses around the world. And for the listeners, just a quick primer. First of all, it is illegal to have a bioweapons manufacturing capability in a country. There's treaties that have been signed against that. So what the way they get around this is by saying, we're going to get really dangerous viruses. We're going to experiment on them to prevent. We're just doing this for your safety. We're doing this for your well-being to prevent a pandemic in the future. You had another article in the New American on this very recently that USAID launches a $125 million project to find up to 12,000 dangerous zoonotic viruses for this very specific reason. And really alarmingly, at least for everybody listening throughout Patriot Radio land, the Washington State University name as one of the main proponents of this and cooperators with this was front and center. Could you tell the listeners a little bit about what's going on with this gain of function research?
Sure, Matt. So yes, like you said, earlier this month, USAID announced that they have launched a project in cooperation with Washington State University and also unnamed collaborators in other countries to find, like you said, up to 12,000 novel viruses in nature for the purpose of preventing future pandemics. Well, they said that this work is absolutely necessary since the infectious disease events are likely to happen more frequently. They say it happens because the nature changes and wild areas become fragmented. At the same time, the university said that more than 70% of viral outbreaks in people originate in animals. So therefore, they want to identify future threats that would benefit the U.S. and the global community, but it's very unlikely because of all the, you know, risks that this kind of research poses. You know that. So what they will be doing? So they will be screening. They will be looking for the pathogens, and then they will sequence their genomes to see which ones of them pose the most risk to animal and human health. And it sounds really wild because this is exactly what has been going on in the Wuhan lab. And we know that the people like Anthony Fauci, they actually strongly advocated for such risky studies in the past. You know, for example, Fauci, he claimed in 2012 that gain-of-function research aimed at making viruses more virulent and lethal, no matter how potentially dangerous, it was worth the risk of pandemic, and it is exactly what happened. This is exactly what we're having right now. And like you said, in 2014, 2 years after Fauci's defense of the such research, the U.S. government deemed the work so dangerous that it put a moratorium on it, which was set to expire in 2017. But Fauci and his institution, they still funded the research in Wuhan through EcoHealth Alliance because they were exploiting a loophole in the moratorium, stating that an exception from the research may be obtained if the head of the U.S. government funding agency determines that such research is urgently necessary to protect the public health. And they always use this pretext to conduct some wild experiments that go wrong. And there is, you know, I don't know, there is a ton of evidence that it actually happened. I bet that you saw all the media reports that the paper trail and the money trail, it's all there. We know what happens. And I honestly have no idea why Fauci hasn't been fired, jailed, or at least why hasn't he resigned?
I completely agree. Why hasn't he been fired? Why hasn't he resigned when the evidence is so clear? And this gets back to something that's said in here, Washington State University and unnamed collaborators in, quote, other countries. I wonder if that can include China.
Probably. Exactly. They don't say. They say that there will be up to 12 countries in Africa, Asia, Latin America, but they just don't say which ones exactly. Well, they're hiding it.
They are hiding it. And then you read down a little further, and what they want to center the research on includes the Ebola virus, mm-hmm. coronaviruses, and the viruses that cause measles, one of the more contagious things out there. So this really is insanity. They should not be messing around with this at all. And they're doing this with taxpayer money, not just at the federal level, but for everybody listening that lives in Washington State. Washington State University is implicated in this. It's a likelihood that there may be Washington State taxpayer dollars implicated in this as well.
Yes, maybe, but in the end, we all pay federal taxes. So
exactly,
we're all paying for that.
This is incredible. So I want to shift gears just a little bit. They when they brought this up with the study is going to be global, and there you know, it's $125 million to do this. What is your first reaction to who may actually be funding this behind the scenes? And do we know anything more about kind of who at the international level is behind this push right now?
Well, I think that's probably and very likely those are the same actors that were implicated in the Wuhan lab experiments. I believe that it may be National Institute of Health and Fauci's National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, but also the World Health Organization, because they always say how they try to be at the forefront and being ready and prepared for the future pandemics. So this research, I believe that they have all interest in continuing, and you see how the pandemic was used as a pretext to impose absolutely authoritarian rules in the countries that were previously deemed democratic, and you see what is happening here in America, and you see what is happening in Canada and in Australia and throughout Europe. I mean, those countries that were boasting as shining examples of the liberal democracies, that mm-hmm. they are now just descending into authoritarianism. So why not use the same tool over and over again? And we see how COVID cases are, you know, they are declining. They are in decline everywhere right now. And if COVID would end potentially, I mean, even though the scientists say that it will be endemic, meaning the virus will be with us here forever, but it will be like a flu, it would be affecting those people with weakened immune systems on a seasonal basis, but it will not be enough to scare a population to the level when they are ready to give up their freedoms and liberties. They would say, hold on, there's something is amiss with that. They're in just not that many, not such a big of a threat anymore. So they can easily find a new virus that will be even more deadly, even more more transmittable. That's a possibility.
It is a possibility. I want to shift gears, Veronica, to another thing that is contributing to the spread of certain diseases, and that is the situation at the southern border. Mm-hmm. Currently, and you broke this, and I love this, that you found out about it. You keep digging until you find it. The Biden administration is covertly flying unaccompanied migrant children into the country. Tell the listeners about what's happening, because I know that isn't on the radar screen of a lot of people. They're focused, hey, we saw what's going on down at the southern border, but now they're bypassing the border altogether.
It was the New York Post report. I wrote about it today. They just published it last night, I believe. It has the migrant crisis continues at historically levels. The Biden administration apparently secretly flies and accompanies children from Mexico, Texas border to New York and Florida and settles them in suburban areas. And some people believe in New York that it has been happening since April at least. But the first reports that I was able to find was from August. And, so in the middle of the night, dead of the night, the Biden administration puts unaccompanied children on the planes in the middle of the night. Nobody sees, nobody, hopefully they hope that nobody would find out, but people do see and see this absolutely irregular activity at the airport in New York. And most of the passengers, you know, you see that there are just children and teens, and just some of them are young men, presumably in their 20s. So, yes, they're just being settled into the communities, and they say, they claim, that Jen Psaki said today, commenting on that, that it's just a part of the program to reunite young children with their sponsors or parents or relatives that are already there, but she couldn't explain why such a secrecy.
Exactly. Why is it so covert if it's such a magnanimous and such a wonderful program? Exactly. So in the last couple minutes that we have left, Veronica, if you could tell the listeners where they can go to read more about what you're reporting on and get your articles.
Yes, please go to thenewamerican.com. And it's a wonderful publication. I'm really blessed and lucky to have them as my publishing family. And the people who work there are exceptional professionals in journalism. And I bet that you will find them very useful.
Awesome. Veronica, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And just as kind of a last message to people who love freedom, what would it be today? You've got an opportunity to talk to all of Eastern Washington, North Idaho, Northeast Oregon, and Western Montana. What do you have to say to them?
I will have to say that this is important to follow the Benjamin Franklin's rule, who said that I'm saving the Republic if you can keep it. So please work hard to keep the Republic and be worthy of it. And you will succeed, and we all will succeed. All the good patriots, people who still believe in God, people who still believe in morality. This is how we stay strong, and this is how we survive.
Amen. That was perfect. Veronica Kirilenko, mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio. God bless you. Keep up the fight and the great reporting.
Thank you, Matt.
All right. So you heard that. We're going to keep this republic at the local level. We're going to keep it by fighting and standing up, fighting against the corruption, fighting against the corruption on school boards, the corruption in city councils, and just saying, wait, this should be really simple. We don't need all the excuses. We don't need the machinations. We don't need people telling us that masks work, even though there's been 40 years of studies that show that it's like a chain link fence trying to stop a mosquito. We know that doesn't make sense. We're going to stand up and say enough is enough. Parents are going to get engaged. And if the school board's not listening to you, pull your kids out of government school and put them into a private school or homeschool. Very simple. And literally tens of thousands, if not millions of people are already doing that right now in America. And there's all kinds of different folks and organizations out there to help you to do that transition. The other is make sure, like I said toward the beginning of the show, that you understand who is coming against this country and who the enemy really is. The grand satanic conspiracy to try to corrupt mankind, to make mankind fall. And Jesus came and died on the cross so that we would be redeemed and we could be with him forever. No matter what we've done, his blood covers it if we receive him as our Lord and Savior, if we accept him as our Lord and Savior. But when we are talking about what to come against, remember there's a spiritual component to this, and we need to be fighting in the spiritual as well. It's not just enough to show up to school board meetings, not just enough to show up to city council meetings. We need to be fighting this in the spirit. We need to be praying for those people who are under the influence of evil. We need to be praying for those people who are completely lost, and never forget that component of it, that part of it. Because a lot of these folks have never even really truly ever been loved on, despite they think they know they're right, but they really aren't. They think they know so much, but it just isn't so. Our job is to love on them, fight in the spirit, but prevent them from trying to hurt other people here. And we have this affirmative duty as Americans standing up right now to do this. And I got to tell you something, one of the blessings out of all the firings and things that have been going on over the last couple of days, one of the great blessings is you have some of the most competent, some of the most morally courageous, some of the most intellectually honest people now who need a job. So if you're a business owner, I mean, this should be the greatest time of your life. You, those employees you've always wanted, they're out there right now. For those of you that maybe were terminated, understand too that now you could not only find a great business owner that is a kingdom-minded person, but you could also start your own business. And you could start your own business for the purpose of glorifying and honoring and praising God so that this never happens again. There's tremendous influence and opportunity up for grabs right now for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We just have to change our mindset and see it from the Father's perspective. See it with the Father's heart for every situation and every person. That's how we're going to get through this together in Jesus Christ. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.